covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor.
We are a people of influence, endowed with splendor, the splendor of the Holy One of Israel. We serve kingdom purposes as witness, leader, and commander of the peoples, summoning nations we do not know, the nations of the world hastening to us.
Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon.
We are a people of opportunity, seeking the Lord while he may be found, calling on him while he is near, discovering that not only is he present, but has arrived on the scene ahead of us and prepared the way for us, in order that we might compellingly declare God's grand invitation, "If you're thirsty, come."
For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it.
The people of God are a people of destiny, working together with God toward the accomplishment of his purposes, which shall be fulfilled.
What's your favorite story? Maybe what's your favorite novel or your favorite biblical narrative? What's the story from your family history that you love to hear again and again and again? Even though you've maybe read it or seen it a half a dozen times before, what book would you read again? What movie would you watch again? What movie can you quote every line to? What movie would you see again? What novel would you read again? What story would you repeat again, given half a chance? I think it's interesting, in the stories we love to hear, and I think you will find it true whether your favorites center around, you know, science fiction and fantasy type stories or romantic comedy or drama and adventure, I think it says something about us given how often the stories we love to hear and love to read and love to see played out on the silver screen or in live theater or whatever, how often destiny is at the center of what's portrayed. One of my favorites, it might be Tia Dalma in Pirates of the Caribbean. You have a touch of destiny about you, William Turner. It might be the evil emperor to young Luke in Star Wars. Give in to your anger. It is your destiny. If you're my wife, it might be the destiny of lovers in Sleepless in Seattle or Return to Me or maybe, you know, just for some of you youngsters who think that all the movies I've quoted are entirely out of date and out of touch, it might be that out-of-the-world relationship between Jake Sully and Nett Fury in Avatar. Seems to me that the more I look at it, we identify repeatedly with destiny. In some genre or format, each of us connect with destiny-connected stories. And I believe we do so because we were created to long to be a part of something bigger than ourselves, something greater than ourselves, something more grand than our puny little lives on their own could ever amount to. Why do we like it? At least I do. When a hapless Jack Sparrow survives again to sail another day. Why do we like it when Jason Bourne fights to uncover the secrets of his forgotten identity? Why do we like it because Jake and Netanyahu are finally together forever at the end of Avatar? Why? Because something in us would love to know that there is for us a master plan to this madness we call life, that we actually have a place in that plan, that we actually have a role to play, that we, every one of us, genuinely have a destiny to fulfill. Well, my friend, you'll not be surprised to hear me say it, but let there be no doubt about it. As one of God's redeemed people, you have a destiny to fulfill because the people of God are a people of destiny. We at least hinted at it a couple of weeks ago when we quoted from Ephesians chapter 2. We are God's workmanship. By the way, He's quite a craftsman. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Everybody say good works. Which God prepared in advance for us to do. Now, I confess that I read that verse on its own and it doesn't seem necessarily overwhelmingly compelling. Okay, I say to myself, I've got these good works, these good deeds I'm supposed to do. Does that make me, with apologies to David Young, does that make me anything more than a glorified Boy Scout trying to help old ladies across the street? I suggest that when you, and where's David? Boy Scouts all the way, buddy. Right after Royal Rangers. Okay, so I've got these good works, these good deeds to do. What does that really amount to? And I suggest that when you tie verses like Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, to what we just read moments ago or had read to us from the book of Isaiah about the powerful Word of God that goes forth accomplishing the purpose for which God sent it forth, causing the earth to bud and to flourish, accomplishing what God desires, achieving the purpose for which He sent it forth. When you bring Ephesians 2 and the good deeds that God has prepared in advance for us to do in connection with Isaiah 55 and the living Word of God that advances unstoppably to fulfill His purposes, it puts for me the whole thing in an entirely different light. I am being engaged. You are being engaged by the God of the universe to participate with Him in the advance of His eternal kingdom. It is an unstoppable kingdom. It is an unending kingdom. The Lord God will give Him the throne of His father David, speaking of Jesus, and He will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end, and my place in it, your place in it, is established. Our destiny is sure because He, God, has prepared for us acts of righteousness, good works that are more than just nice things I ought to do. They are actions and engagements in the spiritual realm on an eternal level of an eternal nature by which kingdom advance, God's kingdom is achieved. Don't miss this. There is something divine about it. There is something supernatural about it. Isaiah begins this section of chapter 55 by declaring how different this destiny is from the ordinary. As the heavens are higher than the earth, God says, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. What we are talking about together this morning engages the spiritual realm, engages the supernatural realm. This is not an ordinary calling. This is not an earthly destiny. We are a people who acknowledge the existence of an entire world that simply cannot be seen with the naked eye. We affirm the existence of a spiritual realm a world about which, a whole arena of existence about which most of our world is ignorant. And the fact is, many on this globe who are unaware of the existence of this unseen spiritual realm still remain deceived as to the nature of it. Even if they're aware of it, even if they believe there's something that exists beyond what can be touched and handled and examined in a laboratory, they still are deceived about what it really amounts to. Some are deceived because they think the outcome of things is in doubt. Understand where all this heads and how it all wraps up is not in question. Somebody suggested it's not unlike professional wrestling. The winner's been decided and the rest is just for show. God says about the nature of His Word. God says about His purpose for humanity. His Word will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and will achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Jesus declared it plainly upon the cross. It is what? Finished. At that moment, the Bible says, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook. The rock split. It was all a done deal at Calvary, but there's some mopping up to do in the spiritual realm. There are pockets of resistance to be overcome, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And we, the people of God, then, are engaging not only history, not only the here and now, but eternity, things eternal, in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, in the spiritual realm, on a spiritual level. This is where those good deeds prepared in advance for us to do are found. Are you with me? Pentecostal people, if they got their wits about them, operate on an entirely different level. We believe in the reality of a realm that can't be seen with the naked eye. We think there are things to be accomplished that will stand forever. We believe that eternity has invaded the here and now in the presence of the Holy Spirit, and we get to be a part of what God is doing in the earth today. The fact is, we believe that what's really most real can't be seen with the naked eye or necessarily handled or touched with the human hand. Seems a little fruity to you. Just know that it's just what the Bible says. The Bible says, for example, that when Jesus presented Himself as the once for all sacrifice for our sins, He did so. We saw it happen physically at Calvary, but Hebrews says that He really presented His sacrifice in the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not man-made, that is to say, not a part of this creation. You know what the Apostle Paul says about the battles we fight spiritually every day. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. But against what? Rulers and authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Maybe this is a reminder we ought to hear today. We're tied into a spiritual realm. We have a divine connection. Those good deeds prepared in advance for us to do are tied inextricably to that living Word of God that goes forth supernaturally in the spiritual realm. You say, I don't understand all that. Well, that's because it's higher than our ways, just as the heavens are higher than the earth. We are a people of divine destiny. A quasi-animated, digitally doctored Jake Sully has nothing on me. Luke Skywalker's challenges and even his opportunities don't hold a candle to mine. The drama of two lovers finding their way through distractions and pitfalls to finally discover each other on the top of the Empire State Building doesn't hold a candle to the drama and the wonder of how Jesus Christ pursues me and you as members together of His bride, the church. That, my friend, what God has done, is doing, and shall do in participation or with the participation of His body, the bride of Christ, in the earth today. That is rich and compelling drama. We are a people of destiny. And our opportunity is to partner with Christ in the advance of His powerful Word, His eternal purpose. What remains to be seen, because the opportunity is secure, what remains to be seen and what is yet to be uncovered and discovered is just what role we get to play, and perhaps more than that, whether we'll show up at the right time, hitting our marks and catching our cues. The question is not, do we have a destiny in Christ? The question is not, will God's purpose be achieved in the earth? The question really is, will we, the people of God, step up and fulfill our destiny in Jesus Christ our Lord? The question is, will we, the people of God, step up and fulfill our destiny in Jesus Christ our Lord? Something I think is a little difficult to get our minds around. God's will shall be done in the earth. God's will shall be done in the earth. Don't doubt it. Isaiah 55, verse 10, as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth, making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So, God says, so is my word that goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and will achieve the purpose for which I sent it. One way to say it is like this. God's will, we know this, God's will is not always done, but God's will shall ultimately be done. He is a God, Ephesians says, He is a God who works out everything in conformity with the purposes of His will. One of the things that means is that He's big enough, He's grand enough, He is great enough that your lack of participation in His plan or even your willful, disobedient rebellion against His will won't disrupt the accomplishment of His purpose. You won't stop it. When Roman soldiers nailed Jesus to a cross, it seemed like the end, didn't it? Satan claps his hands and says, there, that's the end of that. But how many of you know when Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in Jerusalem to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, they did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. You'll not outsmart God. You'll not outmaneuver Him. You'll not overpower Him. Whatever you do to try to thwart Him is only going to come right back on you. His ways are not your ways, and His thoughts are not your thoughts. And just a little piece of advice here for you. I don't think you really want to mess with that. The question is not, will His living Word accomplish what He desires and the purpose for which He sent it forth? The question is, will we, the people of God, step up and do, will we be the ones who step up and do those things that God has prepared in advance for us to do as participants in the advance of His Word and the advance of His will and the advance of His kingdom? Will we fulfill our destiny in Christ? Will you fulfill your destiny in Christ? Some of you waiting around for somebody to do something for you. You need to get on your feet and do something for yourself. Sometimes when others, let me clarify this. Sometimes when others speak of destiny, of someone's destiny, they speak of a predetermined, unalterable fate, settled beforehand by the gods, as it were. A fate, a destiny settled apart from any choice or action on your part. When I speak when the Scriptures speak of your destiny in Christ, when the Bible describes what I am calling today destiny, it is very much dependent upon what each of us chooses to do with the opportunities before us. Decision determines destiny. Action engages what God is up to and makes us a part of His plan. Musicians, come. There is a place of significance. I'm convinced of it. There is a place of significance, a role of significance mapped out for you in the spiritual realm. There is a place of significance mapped out for you in the spiritual realm, a place where you latch on to, where you grab hold of that powerful, advancing, effective, conquering Word of the living God, where you take hold of that for which Christ has taken hold of you and participate with God in kingdom advance that alters eternity forever. But your destiny in Christ is only fulfilled as you choose it, as you take hold of it, as you latch on to it. Reject it, ignore it, doubt it, disbelieve it, rebel against it, it will be lost. It's not going to stop God from doing what He set out to accomplish, but your opportunity will pass. I believe it'll be passed on to somebody else, taken up and achieved by another, because God's purpose will prevail and His kingdom shall be established. And in that sense, your destiny is up to you. Time to get on board or step back so you don't get run over because the train is leaving the station. God is speaking boldly and plainly, has been, continues to do so to this congregation. His people will be a people of invitation. Come, everyone who is thirsty. Amen. His people will be a people of influence. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you. God's people will be a people of opportunity. Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him while He is near. God's people are a people of destiny in Christ. So is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. So my question this morning is, who's ready? Who's ready to latch on? Who's ready to say, Lord, I'm in? Who's ready to say, all right, I'm taking hold of that for which You've taken hold of me. I think my life amounts to, matters for more than just what I've seen so far. I believe that You have good deeds that You've prepared in advance for me to do. I believe that Your living Word goes forth and will accomplish the purpose for which You've sent it forth. I don't believe that governments can stop it. I don't believe that political scenarios can stop it. I don't believe that economic challenges can stop it. Because I serve the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords, whose kingdom shall be established and He shall reign forever. That's what I'm taking hold of. That's what I'm choosing to be a part of. Only thing that can stop the fulfillment of God's destiny for you is you. Right. If you're in, if you dare to be in, yeah, I'm putting the pressure on her. If you dare to be in, stand to your feet. Come on. Let's declare together. Every day.